Blog Talk Radio.
Cloudy day,
there are
Welcome back, family. Welcome to the Care to Read Room. We're glad you're back. You have your Omi Inca 7 in the house this evening. I am your advocate, the one you need, and your advisor, the one you want, and I'm also your infra. I can just hear those slaves just coming up from slavery saying the storm is over now. When they went into the Renaissance period and the mid-40s, they finally had left their knapsacks, and they were ready to produce, to give out and give in from their substance. They were saying, the storm is over now. I'm ready to go on. Ladies and gentlemen, for those of you who joined us during our special segment for the 2 days on Valentine's Day and the pre-Valentine's Day, thank you so much for joining us. And I apologize for the confusion on the set. There was some technical difficulty, but nevertheless, we brought you from our hearts what we knew about love. I hope you enjoyed it. And as we get ready to go into our segment, from the Renaissance to the mid-40s, literature, what is that all about, ladies and gentlemen? The literature as a social protest. How can you use literature as a social protest? Well, Richard Wright did, and we're going to find out how he did that. Why did realism, why was realism used in his form of style of writing? We're going to talk about that too. And did Richard Wright have a literary movement? If so, what was the literary movement that he had? And how can you use that literary movement in today's time? What movement was associated with him? And what was the dangers in using the literary movement as he did in his social protests? We'll find that out in a second, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to take you straight to commercial, and we'll be right back at you in the air as we take a station identification, and we know that the storm is over now. Welcome back, family. Let's get ready to go right into the meditation and the talking cure. We're going to do a few things here. We're going to give you a little excerpt from Richard Wright. And I don't know how many of you are familiar with Richard, but I want to introduce you to Richard Wright. He wrote The Black Boy. He also wrote The Man Who Was Almost a Man. And in The Black Boy, he wrote that out of destitute. He was just a young boy himself. And when Richard wrote that, his classmates didn't believe that he wrote it when it showed up in a newspaper, and they accused him of not writing it. He had a large amount of anger behind his words, and that soon revealed itself. And later on, he decided to publish. The aspect of Richard Wright's stories that caused the most common problem, it was basically he was writing about slavery and what it had did to them. Richard Wright's mother was really afraid for him. She didn't want him to take any chances because he wouldn't be able to find employment if he continued to write from a protesting perspective. At the age of 15, Richard Wright had made up his mind to leave Mississippi for the North. As he headed off to the North, he thought he could find his fortune and fame. Richard's classmates were baffled when they read the story in the newspaper. They were just baffled, and they were confused at why he would write such a thing. They feared for him. His uncle's attitude towards the story was contentment, and he felt scornful about what was written. Richard Wright felt that the North symbolized hope for him, and he felt that he could go there and get the hope he needed to go behind his protest. He felt that the ambitions that he had would help him to advance himself so that anything he wanted to write about, he could do it in the North. But he found that there was freedom there, but at the same time, he was a marked man, and people did not like him speaking out. Wright told no one about his ultimate dream. He had great dreams. He had dreams of high expectation, and he didn't discuss those with anyone. But there was a lot of trouble for Wright, and Wright's family worried about him because of this newspaper editing statement, and they felt because he was using all of these various different techniques, it would cause problems for him. And his writing was rather provocative. His writing really struck out, and he used things with a various different style that there was in writing. He decided to use some of the style. For example, the depicting of everyday life and speech of ordinary people. It's called realism when you talk about ordinary people. So he used realism. However, he used that in his social protests, ladies and gentlemen. And then there's the naturalism that you can use as well, and the propaganda. So technically, he wanted to use realism because it related to everyday life, the precise depiction of the environment and the social conditions that were going on during that time. That was naturalism, and he mainly chose realism out of that. And there are others, too, such as social protests that he had in his paper. And what he didn't realize was that these people would not be happy and pleased with him. And he wrote poetry as well and recited poetry. And Richard Wright was multi-talented, ladies and gentlemen. He decided to use the free verse. And there's the sonnet in the poetry, and there is the rhythm couplet and the blank verse. But he chose to use the free verse in his poetry. And which of the following would be best to use? Would it be blanket verse or rhythm? At that particular time, because of his protest and his combativeness for what had happened to him in slavery, he wanted to lash out with his words, but his mother and father didn't think it was wise because of the detriment that could come to them. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to think on these young African-American literary writers and what was going on in their past and what happened to them. Go with us now as we go into the meditation room as we begin to do the libation. I set a candle aside for my mother's side of the spirit, and I say Ashe. I set a candle aside for my father's side of the spirit, and I say Ashe. I wash my face with the water. So that I won't have a stale face in my hands. I say Ashe. I pour libations to the north, and I say Ashe. I pour libations to the south, and I say Ashe. I pour libations to the east, and I say Ashe. I pour libations to the west, and I say Ashe. I call on the spirit of Clara Jenkins, Ashe. I call on the spirit of Robert Jenkins, and I say Ashe. Tommy Pete Harvey, Ashe. George Lilly, Ashe. Sam Lilly, Ashe. I call on Essely Pope, Ashe. Isa Lilly, Ashe. Nisha Lilly, Ashe. Ruby Lilly, Ashe. Bessie Lilly, Ashe. Mary Lou Hawkins, Ashe. I call on Michael Harvey, Ashe. Michelle Harvey, Ashe. Eugene Lilly, Ashe. Marvin Jenkins, Ashe. Louise Lord, Ashe. Ludell James, Ashe. Lucille Day, Ashe. Elijah Day, Ashe. Emmanuel Day, Ashe. And Ivory Day, Ashe. I say, so be it, so let it be done. On this day, as the slaves came up from slavery, from the Renaissance period to the 40th period of the year to the mid-40s, the storm was over for these slaves. The bulk of it, they thought, but only to discover that there still were battles to fight. Richard Wright, who wanted to protest with his words, found it in his heart to write a descriptive narrative which caused him great deals of problems. We call out to the families today as they begin to build and to come up from slavery And we tell those families to build concepts, institutions, build objectives, create from their substance. Never forget what they experienced from the slave time. Never forget, as they come up from slavery, they began to establish communities. They began to establish institutions. But most of all, they're bringing their consciousness with them and their African spirituality to build communities. And as we come up from slavery, I pray that each and every community is mounted back together again for the purpose and for the direction of our ancestors. And we say to God be the glory. We pray all prosperity over every community that's represented here today. We pray advancement for organizations, entrepreneurship, into sustainability, into organic gardening. We open all those airways and we ask the universe to open up, to support us, to make the way plain and clear. We thank you, Mother Nature. We thank you, Oladulamare, our Father. We thank you, Ori, the Godhead on our head. We thank you, ancestors. We thank you, Obatala, Shango, Alegba. We thank you, Yamanja, for the rivers that are now assisting us, and the streams and the oceans who are giving up and making allowances for us as we begin to build again. O ye people, lift up your heads. You will build again. And the last shall be first, and the first shall be last, the Alpha and the Omega. Just as your ancestors once were great, so will we be great once again. Count it all joy, everything that we experience. The buffering of our souls made us a better people, made us a more solid and self-determined people, like Richard Wright, so determined that we stand with him today in his effort to explain what it was that he felt should come through in writing. Let the literary poets and let the writers and narratives come forward and let them speak and let the heart speak. And we pray prosperity upon every family represented here. We pray that each family will have abundance in their efforts to bring about community again. And we say, Ashe, Asante Sana, thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for going with us on that little trip as we went through the journey of taking you through the talking cure. Talk yourself through whatever it is you're going through, ladies and gentlemen, and you will find prosperity while under the spirit. Speak things that be not as though they were and bring them to light. Richard Wright is one of my favorite poets. I am a poet as well. I don't write poetry in that fashion that Richard Wright writes in realism. I try to work around the realism for the rhythm part of it. But whenever I can speak on life situations, on critical problems, I speak based on what the pulse of the people and what they're going through. And you'll know at the bottom of my website, there are a few samples of my poetry. I would urge you to go and sample it and listen to it and look at my style. I'm a storyteller, and I do some sonnets, and I do some realism as well as the rhythms. But mostly I talk about those who are close to me and tell a story. You can examine that poetry. But Richard Wright wrote some other stories, like Black Boy. And those stories were very, very famous, as we would think, because he spoke from his heart. And during those days, a large amount of us were afraid that our words would cause an uproar. And Richard Wright's words did cause an uproar to the point that he was not able to find employment, and his mother thought it would affect him. And she talked to him about his really cutting words and wanted him to be careful. Now, in today's time, when we write, we hear young people speak any kind of way, broken language, inappropriate language, and they're not telling the story. Sometimes they cannot have consistency, or they don't have a presence, and they don't have continuity. So for those new writers out there, I say the best way to write is in a realism state where you write from your heart and you speak about the conditions and talk to the people. And as you talk to the people, they will see how real you are about what it is you're trying to portray. Don't go speaking things just because they rhyme and just because they fit with the paragraph or the sentence. It's very important to do like Richard Wright did. Have a cause. And when you have a cause, stand for something and speak on those topics that's going to be relevant, that can help your community and help you. Now, we talked about children going astray the other day and children not liking their parents. And we spoke about these children that are in another category now who have formalized their own opinion by themselves and for themselves, and sometimes with the tribe. And what I mean by tribe is their friends, their peers. They all want to appear to be accepted. So they go along with the idiosyncrasies of people hating one another, and they may not feel that in their heart. Now, some of the rap that they're producing, you can see what's going on in the community by virtue of what they produce. I want you to understand that a good poet is a good storyteller. And he tells a sentence, he makes a sentence, and he has a hook that goes throughout the poem that will talk about the hardship, the violence. We'll talk about the love. We'll talk about various different concepts. So I want you to understand that during this particular time, as we come up from slavery, we ought to be gathering our thoughts to be more opinionated, because now people are so opinionated that everyone has an opinion, and that's a good thing. I think that you should never let someone think for you, have an opinion. Now, during the Renaissance time, you had great people out there working with unions. You had Richard Wright involved in all sorts of narratives and contracts. He had to be involved in unions to make sure that he was protected in his writing. Otherwise, he could have been torn apart. Now, I want to speak to you potential poets and writers. You must write every day. You must practice your craft. Leave a pen and pencil aside your bed at night, so when you dream and you wake up in your dream and you want to jot down a line or two of poetry or something to go in your narrative, you can. Write all the time and often as you can. Now, I want to tell you that the reason I chose this topic was to tell you my method for writing, which is a little unusual and extraordinary, because I am an emperor. I do things extraordinary. You know, the emperor has to have something different and unique. When I write, I do not just take a pen and paper or go to a screen and start typing. I usually take my recorder, my portable recorder, and I record into the recorder. And I bring out the poetry from the right side of my brain while I'm asleep. That's why, while I'm in a trance. And whatever's on my mind at that time, I speak it. And then I go back and dictate that information and write it down and clean it up and edit it. And at that point, it becomes a poem. And then I type it from there. So I'm careful to catch the errors, and at the same time, I can get the gist of what I'm trying to say. But you flow better when you talk. So I do something called impromptu. But at the same time, the spirit is moving on me to give me the words to say. So sometimes I don't even remember what I've written, and afterwards I have to go back over what I have written to remember what I said. That is the spirit moving, ladies and gentlemen. It can or she can be moving on you if you choose, but you must use a form of meditation. I use the Tree of Life meditation when I write. I haven't been writing lately. I wrote about 2 months ago, and then I put the pen down because you have to have a certain air and an environment to write, and you have to have a certain continuity going on. And for me, I have to have issues to write about. So my writing is a little different. So when you read it, you wonder, who is Omi talking about? Who is the real Sister Soldier, and why is she in this war, and what's going on in her life, and why is she up against an institution? Those are things that go on around me, ladies and gentlemen. But then I also write about loved ones. I write about the medicine man who has healing in his hand. I write about my greatest emotion and my little inspiration. So write about things you know. And when you write about things you know, you can't go wrong. You'll be right on the money. And I want to tell you right before we leave that the storm is over now. And as African Americans, we can do a whole lot more than we've ever been able to do in the past. And I don't care what anybody say. There's nobody stopping us but us. We can't say them and them and them and them won't let us do it and him won't let us do it and they won't let us do it. We have to stand up and proclaim a thing and decree a thing. Whatsoever you decree, you ask God to watch over it and perfect it and perfect his own words and speak God's words back to him. And if you want to be a writer, you can be a writer, but it takes perseverance and it takes practice. I didn't become a writer till I was 48 years old, and I didn't know I had the skills to even rhyme or to make words regularize and rhyme until I had an issue that was facing me. Sometimes we have to have issues in our life before we can write. Sometimes we have to have things happen to us. But as we're buffered, we come out glimmering and shining. But you must find the path you take. If you choose to protest with your words, be very careful how you use your words. People will twist your words. I have a tendency to have very sharp words. My words cut going in and cut coming out. People used to try to trip me up to see how I stood on different issues so that they could go and quote me inappropriately. Fight for your words. Fight with your words. And let your words be your tools and ammunition. Whenever you find an issue, take up a pen and write. And write about the issue. Voice your opinion about the issue. But make sure your literary writing is well done. Now, I know we're typing everything these days, and sometimes it's a little difficult. I understand that. But I want you to understand we all have the gift of Tahuti in us, and we all are scribes, and we all can do it. We just have to put the time in it. I want to thank you for going with Omi all the way on this occasion, and I will see you on, today is Wednesday, today is Tuesday. I will see you on Wednesday. And I will see you on Friday. So have a great day. And to all of you writers, good writing. And make sure you have a word to protest on, something to write about like Richard Wright did. The storm is over now. You can get up, O ye people. Get up.
Storm is over now.
Up from slavery, we're pulling up our own boots.
No more.